Today on the International Desk, we are going to talk about South Africa, and we're going to myth-bust some awful dialogue that's been coming out on the internet in the last year or so, kind of coinciding with the white nationalist kind of alt-right edgelord movement. And they've basically been saying there's a white genocide going on in South Africa with farmers being killed. There's been a recent study that's come out by AgriSA, the main farmers union, saying that's totally not true. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore farm attacks, we're going to explore crime in South Africa, and I'm going to give you the real stats, bust some of the myths, and let's get the truth out to you guys.
Do you have a little disclaimer though?
There is, yes. Also, sorry, I totally forgot about that.
That's
thank
all
you
right.
for reminding me.
Language so, matters, that's what I'm here
it
to
is,
say.
Yeah, so the disclaimer is that when we're talking about South Africa, and particularly race in South Africa, the way they classify it over there and the way they monitor it and measure it is by the old apartheid classifications, because the thought process is that if we measure the development of those groups that were disadvantaged in apartheid by tracking them the way that apartheid did, hopefully that we can target better redevelopment of those groups. Now, one of those groups is called, that's why I'm going to talk about white people, I'm going to talk about black people, I'm going to talk about Indian people using those terms, and coloured people. Now, coloured in America, Britain and Canada and Australia and New Zealand is a racial epithet and it shouldn't be used. The only context in which should be used is describing this particular group in South Africa. They self-identify as Cape Coloureds. They are a mix of Khoisan, European, Malay, Pacific Islander, all sorts of other African, total mix. Sure. So if you hear me say coloured, I'm referring to a particular ethnic group who identify by that word. And so just to let you know, that's what's going down.
Cool. Here we go.
Agri South Africa, one of South Africa's largest farmers' unions that represents over 70,000 commercial farmers, has released a report that states farm murders in the country are at an all-time low, in spite of what international right-wing commentators have said over the past 5 years. The country saw 47 murders between 2017 and 2018, which they say is consistent with the steady decline seen since 1998, a year where violence peaked in the country and 153 farmers were murdered on their land. Even within the last decade, this statistics showed a substantial decline from 80 to 100 people being murdered on their land from 2003 to 2011. The chair on rural safety, Cobus Breitenbach, says that farm attacks have spiked this year, but the overall trend since the turn of the century shows that they are on the decline. Breitenbach maintains this is due to farmers taking further precautions and protecting their land, as well as better communications technology that allows for faster response times from private security companies. Security risk analyst for Free State Agriculture, Jane Boyd, is part of just one organisation tracking and aiding farmers on a provincial level with the help of SAPS, the South African Police Service. Here are her organisation's findings on the matter.
In 2003, with the Commission of Inquiry into the Farm Attacks, that was the first one. They already identified it's not only producers that's being targeted or that gets killed. It's also workers staying on farms and workers working for the farmers that's been targeted. About 70%, it can even be higher, 80% of farmers do not report crimes to the SAPS anymore. That's on property related crimes. So it makes then the analysis and the investigation of crimes very problematic, because SAPS cannot conduct a comprehensive crime pattern analysis and allocate their resources on a 20% crime pattern. It's too little. So it is a problem.
Breitenbach echoed similar sentiments, saying AgriSA also had reports from black and coloured farmers and workers regarding increased anxiety about being attacked, leading him to conclude this was a crime issue rather than a race issue. Equally, alongside the decline in farm murders, the overall murder rate per 100,000 people has been declining for the first time since it began increasing in the mid-70s. These statistics stand in stark contrast to a worrying rhetoric that has sprung up amongst the far right in Western countries about South Africa that appears to be a reflection of Western politics rather than the politics on the ground. Far-right commentators like Lauren Southern and Tommy Lahren talk of a white genocide with old white American Civil War era paranoia that black and coloured people are these vengeful savages looking for chaos and bloody retribution. Earlier this year, Australian Minister for Home Affairs Peter Dutton also came out offering humanitarian visas to specifically white South African farmers, saying, quote, "They deserve special treatment from a civilised country like ours," end quote. right? And to paraphrase, we want people who come here and work hard, not people who lead a life on welfare. These comments led to a diplomatic row with Pretoria for the unashamed racial implications of these comments. On the other side of the coin, firebrand South African politician Julius Malema and his EFF party have been no better. Here's a little compilation of recent comments made by Malema that have certain communities scared of violent retribution.
We are not calling for the slaughtering of white people, at least for now. Majority of Indians hate Africans. Majority of Indians are racist. And we must never be scared to say that. They are racist. I'm not saying all Indians. I'm saying majority of them. The same thing applies to some of the colored brothers. They see themselves as more white than being black. It's a reality we have to deal with.
The mayor of DA in PE is a white man. So these people, when you want to hit them hard, go after a white man. They feel a terrible pain because you have touched a white man. But we are starting with this whiteness. We are cutting the throat of whiteness.
All of this leads to a public consensus whereby, despite the rate of farm murders and attacks being on the decrease, despite the general crime rate lowering, and despite South Africa being safer than it's been for decades according to long-term trends in violent crime, the combination of political corruption, economic stagnation, and increased coverage of violent crime still means a large number of middle-class South Africans across the racial spectrum are looking for opportunities overseas. Now, this is not to say that South Africa is safe in the context to the rest of the world. South Africa is only the 123rd most peaceful country on earth out of 163, and the murder rate is the 8th highest at 33 people per 100,000 murdered each year. But the reduction of this murder rate on both farms and townships from the days of Johannesburg being the murder capital of the world show an intent from the government, law enforcement, and the general population. The discussion around farm murders and the crime rate has been diluted by rhetoric from the EFF, Afrikaner nationalist groups, and white nationalist commentators overseas, and this is evidenced in the disparity between their comments and the statistics produced in studies by the University of Cape Town, farmers' unions, the South African police force, and Statistics South Africa. In essence, there are two myths that need to be busted. Contrary to popular belief, South Africa is safer than it was during the 1980s under apartheid. And secondly, that according to those who work with the farming community, the targeting of farms affects whites disproportionately because whites disproportionately own more farms than blacks, coloureds and Indians. This leads on to how South Africans envision the future of their country, as crime, violence and racial disparity are intrinsically linked to the economic development of the country as a whole. South Africa is by far the most prosperous country in Africa, and after apartheid ended, the economy had 15 years of uninterrupted, steady 3% per annum growth, leading to a large number of people rising out of poverty and the emergence of strong black, coloured and Indian middle-class communities. But the 2008 financial crisis, coupled with a decade of rampant political corruption under Jacob Zuma and the Zulu nationalist wing of the ANC, led to serious structural issues, as this SABC economic report outlines.
Figures released by Stats SA today suggest more people are finding themselves stuck in a hopeless cycle of poverty with no real chance in the formal economy. The 27.7% official jobless rate reflects 6.2 million working-age people out of work. When you include those who have stopped looking, that rate spikes to 36.4%, reflecting 9.3 million jobless people. There were 140,000 jobs created across sectors in the first quarter, not nearly enough to meet the demand of new job seekers. The Statistician General has raised the flag on the thousands of underskilled young adults leaving colleges.
For people who are tertiary other than university degrees, the unemployment of those who are 15 to 34 is very, very high at 27-28%. And it's not abating. And the question is, what is it that the system is feeding them by way of training?
The staggering 54% youth unemployment rate is being described as a ticking time bomb. Social developmental expert Lauren Graham says most young people without networks are caught up in the web of poverty, where looking for a job is too costly.
So young people from poor backgrounds typically are located far away from job opportunities, and it costs them a lot of money to go and look for work. In one of our studies, we see that on average, they can spend more than their monthly per capita household income looking for work. So it doesn't become viable to look for work.
South Africa's population is growing faster than its economy. In fact, forecasts put economic growth at around 1% this year, which means that population growth outpaces this figure by at least 0.8%. And that essentially means we are getting poorer. For the situation to be arrested, economists say we need at least 5% in our economic growth rate to keep unemployment from rising.
The current situation paints a bleak and endless circle of economic stagnation, feeding poverty, which in turn feeds violent crime, which in turn drives investors away, and so on and so forth. However, this year, new president and prolific businessman Cyril Ramaphosa hopes to change all that.
I took a view that there are more than a million companies registered in our books in South Africa, and out of these million companies, I took a view that if, say, half of them are still alive and operating, and each one created just one job for a young person, we would have 500,000 jobs created by each company that is registered on our books as a nation. And that is where the 500,000 jobs that are asked for came in. And if we, in the next year, could create 500,000 jobs for young people, which, if you were to extrapolate a little bit more, you could start touching on 750,000 and 1 million jobs, we could make a real serious dent on youth unemployment.
South Africa has a lot going for it. It's a modern country with great transport and urban infrastructure. It has an independent judicial system and a large English-speaking population. It sits on what is still a major shipping route and still ranks as a top destination for retirees from Europe. But its economic woes and the violent effects of it have meant a lot of its better-off citizens are seeking prospects elsewhere and causing a brain drain. South Africa is on the correct track with regard to its crime epidemic, but much like Ramaphosa, the majority of South Africans across this racial spectrum want to live, work, and eat in peace and comfort. And the dangerous rhetoric of the Malemas, Southerns, Larens, and Richard Spencers of the world don't seem to be aiding that cause. In short, South Africans deserve better than to be used as a crude political weapon in a bigger ideological fight. Yep, and if you are a South African out there who has moved to New Zealand and you are listening, or if you've even been to South Africa, you know, let me know what your experience was. Let me know how you found it. And I know we talked about a lot about violent crime, and I don't want to be a tourism ad, but it's as a visitor, it's still 100% worth visiting. It's a beautiful country, 100% should go. I've been, I loved it, but you do have to be aware of your surroundings. So, any South Africans out there, let me know. Get in touch.
Always an advocate, Connor.